Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, July 30th, 2013. I'm Holly Keen, and this is Raven News. Sitka's Little League All-Stars lost a hard-fought series in Wrangell over the weekend, 3-1. Anchorage's Abbott O'Rabbit claimed the Little League title and will represent the state in the regional tournament in August. After losing the first two games of the series, the Sitka All-Stars held on to Game 3, posting a 4-3 victory over Anchorage. In Game 4, Anchorage put up most of its runs late in the game. Sitka couldn't come back from the deficit. Game 4 ended 1-11. Coach Rich Riggs says he's proud of his team and that they created good memories on the field and off. A photo taken after the games shows both teams' players standing with their arms around each other. All the players are signaling number one with their hands, representing the fact that they both were tops in their respective districts this year. You can see that photo on our website, kcaw.org. Commercial and charter fishing fleets, as well as the public, will have a little longer to comment on the catch-sharing plan for halibut. NOAA Fisheries announced Wednesday that it would take comments on the plan for an additional 14 days. Catch-sharing would allocate a sliding percentage of the overall allowable catch for halibut between the commercial and charter fleets in both Southeast and the Central Gulf. The 45-day public comment period started in late June and was set to end August 12th. It's a time when both commercial and charter fleets are out working. That was a point made by many people commenting, according to Julie Spiegel, spokesperson for the agency in Alaska.
We know a lot of the comments submitted to us were asking for a comment period extension of 45 days, but we took a very close look at this and determined that we can grant an extension for 14 days, which allows a comment period of 2 months, and an extension longer than that would jeopardize implementing the catch-sharing plan for the 2014 fishing season.
The allocation plan was recommended by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council and has support from commercial fishing industry representatives. They argue that the commercial catch has been managed for halibut abundance and limited to a certain catch amount each year, and think the charter fleet should be as well. The charter fishing industry is concerned that the plan will bring with it more restrictive management measures, like size limits that will make it hard to draw clients to fish in Alaska. Spiegel encourages people to read the proposed plan before they submit comments.
There's, you know, a lot of information out there that's not 100% accurate, and, you know, I think focuses on the worst-case scenario. We want people to read the actual plan and before they comment.
The proposed catch share plan would also set up a system for the commercial fleet to transfer fishing quota shares to the charter fleet. Senator Mark Begich Wednesday said he was disappointed with the length of the extension. Giving Alaskans just 2 weeks more during the busy season, summer fishing season, to comment on a contentious plan on how we manage our state's halibut fishery is a disservice, Begich said. He urged NOAA Fisheries to reach out to fishermen about the new deadline. You can search for halibut catch sharing plan online at regulations.gov, read the proposed plan, and comment there. The new deadline for comment is August 26th. A new short film from Sitka's Domestic Violence Shelter explores prevention from an unexpected angle, camping and kayaking. Rebound is the name of the film and the program, which completed its third season early this summer. Although it's included boys in the past, Rebound this year brought together 9 high school-age girls for an extended kayak trip in Southeast Alaska. The lessons in the program range from basic camping skills, like creating a bear hang for food, to how to live and work cooperatively with no communication to the outside world, and more importantly, with no shampoo. Anne Bryce spent last winter as KCAW's postgraduate fellow in community journalism. She's now a prevention specialist with Sitkins Against Family Violence. Bryce produced the film Rebound. She and prevention director Julia Smith take us behind the scenes.
I think it's important for girls to learn more about, like, why we should be respected and why we have power.
Most of the individuals, both this year and in years past, have never spent this much time in the backcountry. Even though many of them live in rural communities, they've never had an opportunity to really experience the outdoors without a lot of amenities. So, you know, we're backcountry camping for 5 days, and it's challenging.
I don't really know much about life outside of my home and outside of my family who have supported me my whole life.
We see some breakdowns halfway through the trip. It's emotionally challenging. It's physically challenging. But by the end of the trip, many of them this year said things like, I've always wanted to camp, and now I know how to, so I'm going to do this more often. Some of them said that this trip helped them kind of redefine themselves, and many of them felt like, you know, because of the experience, they now have a better sense of what they want to do, you know, for the next chapter of their lives.
It was very challenging. Me and Lily were paddling very, very hard, but still we would get behind.
Watching it over and over and over, I was just really struck by how funny all of the girls were and how honest they were. And, you know, they were just really nice to each other. And it seems like, you know, you hear, oh, high school girls, there's, you know, they can be catty and, you know, they're not that nice to each other. It's like, that was the opposite of what was happening.
Respect to me means showing people that you care no matter what they choose to do.
I mean, they just have no idea what they're getting into. It doesn't matter how much you try to prepare them for, you know, going into the backcountry and, you know, how you're going to use the bathroom or the fact that there are no showers and that, no, you can't wash your hair in the ocean. I mean, all of those things are new concepts to them. So in past years, you know, we've been on our boat and we're literally about to get dropped off into the backcountry, and we've had girls say, hey, can I bring this? And it's a bottle of Pert, you know, shampoo, and it's, you know, 12 ounces.
I learned how to become a better leader and have more confidence in my leadership.
It was, like, pretty interesting to hear their, you know, their low points and their high points. And you could tell, in their voices, you could hear it.
I also learned a lot about camping.
Another day when we were in the rain for probably 12 hours, and I think one of the funniest moments on the trip was when one of our participants said, you know, isn't it ironic? The only dry article of clothing that I have is my bathing suit.
I've regained a sense of my own capabilities, and I would really like to empower those around me and continue empowering myself.
Julia Smith and Anne Bryce work in prevention with Sitkins Against Family Violence, or SAFE. SAFE just released a short film, Rebound, in partnership with WARE and Juno and other funders. You can check out the film at our website, kcaw.org. A nonprofit organization that conducted beach cleanups along the entire Northwest America West Coast 3 years ago is at it again, this time closer to Sitka. Coastal Footprint was started in 2010 by Louis Hook. He made a stop in Sitka in his sailboat as he headed south towards the Panama Canal. Now the nonprofit is in the hands of a Juno man who's spending the better part of the summer focusing on beaches near Sitka. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
By his own admission, David Leggett was not born to sail. He grew up in L.A., and he didn't spend much time around the ocean. It's the second part of his job that comes much more naturally. As a child, on family camping trips, no one left until a good amount of trash, theirs and others, had been collected. That's his mission now. Part one, sailing around in his 29-foot sloop, the Swifter, and part two, picking up garbage from beaches.
Primarily large chunks of styrofoam, large fishing floats, a lot of water bottles.
Leggett runs Coastal Footprint. It's a Juneau-based nonprofit that's done this once before. In 2010, the organization traveled the entire west coast of North America. But that was before the 2011 Japanese tsunami, which sent millions of tons of debris into the Pacific. It's often hard to say whether Leggett and his crew are picking up Japanese tsunami debris. He says some of what they find has Asian characters on it, but that he doesn't speak any of those languages to know for sure. That said, he knows the debris is changing, at least anecdotally.
Talking to the locals who spend a lot of time out there, they're noticing a lot of new kinds of debris that they haven't seen before. Large chunks of styrofoam, maybe 6 feet long and four feet across. Huge. And that's a new thing that they've been seeing. And sometimes they're wrapped in tarps or wrapped in some kind of plastic that's tied onto them.
Leggett says getting the debris off the beach is one thing, but getting it back to town for proper disposal is another.
We fit stuff inside in one of the spare quarter berths. We fit stuff in the lockers in the cockpit, and then the big stuff, we just strap it on the deck, strap it all down, and it makes sailing a little bit interesting at times, trying to climb around on huge chunks of styrofoam, but, you know, we just float it up and bring back what we can.
A lot of the debris in the ocean begins to break down as it's exposed to sunlight and the elements. For example, as things like plastics degrade, they turn into tiny little bits, and then
these animals consume the plastics, and they get into their digestive systems, and they can't digest it, so it just sits there. Then the animal feels full, and it doesn't need to eat.
They've found foam and bottles, tarps, and pieces of plastic. Leggett says what they're doing is really important for the local environment, but also
it's a total adventure. You know, I get to go sail around and see all these new spots, and it's awesome. And I get to do something good at the same time and take friends out and you know, do something good for the community.
One of those friends is Joanna Nasvik from Missoula, Montana.
Well, I met David last fall through a friend actually traveling in California. And he was talking about this organization. And
Nasvik, as it turned out, had some relevant experience.
In Missoula, I like host some town cleanups and try to recruit people from the community to come out and pick up certain areas. So it was just right up my alley, and I always wanted to come to Alaska, so I thought that would be the way to do it.
Nasvik and Leggett have focused on Sea Lion Cove along the outer coast of Kruzoff Island and the beaches near Goddard Hot Springs. They've also been to Edelin Island and Herring Cove. Coastal Footprint plans to continue its cleanup trips through mid-August. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can link to the Coastal Footprint website and read an earlier story about their last trip through Sitka in 2010. It's all posted with this report on our website, kcaw.org. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, you can go to the website, kcaw.org, and you're listening to KCAW in Sitka.